Welcome to this edition of the Vanderbilt University Health and Wellness Wellcast. I'm Emma Mills with the Occupational Health Clinic. I'm here today with Dr. Lori Rolando, Assistant Medical Director and Physician here at Occupational Health, to talk about the recent flooding experienced in Central Tennessee and what hazards people should be aware of as they clean up their homes and businesses. Let's start off by asking, what sort of hazards can be found in floodwater?
Well, there are several hazards that a person can be exposed to when they're working either in the floodwater or the resulting mud and the resulting waste that's left behind. First of all, sewage or other waste materials can be found in the floodwater and can contaminate those things that have been damaged by the floodwater. You can have agricultural runoff, which can be anything from animal waste to agricultural chemicals that have been used to treat the land. You can have chemicals from homes or from businesses that can enter the floodwater as the water itself goes into those homes or those businesses. And also, one hazard that can be overlooked and is particularly dangerous when you're working in the floodwater itself, but can still be a hazard even as you're working on cleanup, are physical hazards that you might not see. Nails, sharp pieces of wood, other sharp objects or trip hazards that could be either submerged by the water or could be in a pile of damaged materials that you're trying to clean up and you may not see them. So there are a lot of things that you have to watch out for.
What should someone do if they get a cut or a scrape?
The first thing to think about, or one thing to think about, is if you have pre-existing cuts or scrapes, if you already have an open wound of some sort. And if that's the case, and you need to be in the floodwater or you're doing cleanup, if you can, if it's at all possible, cover any open areas that you have with a waterproof bandage. And if you either get a new cut or scratch, or if you have a pre-existing cut or scratch, wash them frequently with soap and water. That's the most important thing, and that's the best thing that you can do, is make sure that you wash them well and then dry them off well. Try to avoid prolonged periods either in the flood water if that's where you're working, or try to avoid prolonged periods in the mud and dust. And that's particularly important, again, if you already have open areas on your skin or if you're at higher risk of skin breakdown. And that's more important if you're going to actually be doing wet work. Okay. But if you do get a new cut, a new scrape, or if a pre-existing open area on your skin gets exposed, in addition to keeping it clean, you want to watch it for signs or symptoms of infection. Most open areas do not need preventative antibiotics. If there's no evidence of infection, they don't need an antibiotic to prevent that. But you want to keep an eye on it to see if it develops an infection. You want to watch for things like increased redness at the area. Things like if the area starts to develop an abscess, meaning it starts to get raised and feels like there's fluid underneath it. Or if you start to develop a fever or just start to feel sicker. Those sorts of things would be an indication and a trigger for you to go see your doctor or your medical provider to get it checked out to see if you do need an antibiotic to treat it. One thing that we've been getting a lot of questions about is, do I need a tetanus shot? And we recommend a tetanus booster in a couple of situations. If you know you're going to be doing cleanup, or in an area where you could potentially get a puncture wound or another such injury, we would recommend you getting a tetanus booster if you've not had one in the last 10 years. The recommendation is typically one tetanus booster every 10 years. So if it's been more than 10 years since you've had one, we would recommend that you get one. If you have been working in flood cleanup and you have gotten a puncture wound, you've stepped on a nail or have had some other injury, in a situation like that where you've had an injury, we would recommend getting a tetanus shot if your last booster was more than 5 years ago. So, as a as a proactive precaution before you start work, if you've not had one in the last 10 years, we'd recommend you get one. If you've had an injury, we would recommend, if it's been 5 years or more, that you go ahead and get a booster. And it's important to remember that either the regular tetanus shot, which we call the TD tetanus shot, or what we call the Tdap, the tetanus shot that has the pertussis component in it. Either one of those will be adequate to protect you. So if you've had a Tdap 2 years ago, you're protected. If you've had just a regular tetanus shot a couple years ago, you're protected. Either one will work.
What sort of precautions should people take if they're getting ready to go into a cleanup area, aside from bandaging any open wounds?
One thing is to prepare yourself and dress appropriately. Mm-hmm. For going in and doing cleanup. Again, we're thankfully to the period where most of the floodwaters receded, so it's not going to be as much wet work as it is going to be, you know, cleaning up areas that have been damaged. So you want to wear rubber gloves to protect your hands, wear rubber boots, rain boots, something that is going to be sturdy, or, you know, steel-toed boots. If you can, make sure the area that you're working is well ventilated, because a lot of dust can be kicked up in these areas. Take frequent breaks and clean yourself off. If you're working and you do get dirty, wash your hands often and dry them well. You want to be cautious, again, because of all the potential hazards, not to allow children to be out running or playing near a cleanup site, again, because of the potential for injury. Mm-hmm. Particularly little kids, they find things, they like to put them in their mouths. A lot of it is thinking about, okay, we've had this damage, now what other things could be affected in the house? The electricity, the gas lines, things like that, and just be cognizant, be aware of what some of those hazards could be. Mm-hmm. One other thing to think about is that if you are trying to clean possessions that you think will be salvageable, you want to make sure that you clean these things very well, and one thing that you can do is to disinfect them in a solution that's 1 cup of bleach for every 5 gallons of water. And then once you do that, you can just go ahead and wash it as you usually would.
All right. So for more information, listeners are encouraged to go to a special webpage Vanderbilt has set up about flood-related concerns at www.vanderbilt.edu/flood. Well, thank you, Dr. Orlando, for your time.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us any comments on this podcast by clicking the Add New Comment link at the bottom of this page. If you have a story suggestion, please email it to us at health.wellness@vanderbilt.edu, or you can use the Contact Us link on our website at healthandwellness.vanderbilt.edu.